I'm Emily Bivens, the Executive Director at the Jamestown Area Chamber, and I'm pleased to be here this evening as your moderator. Thank you for taking the time to tune in and hear from our candidates. If you have questions for the candidates, please submit them in the comment section of our Facebook live stream. We will try to cover as much as we can while still being respectful of everyone's time. The format for this evening's forum will be as follows. We will be presenting the candidates running for City Council office on June 9th of 2020. Each candidate will be allowed approximately 2 minutes for an opening statement. Following that, questions will be presented to each candidate and they will be allowed approximately 2 to 3 minutes for responses. This is not a debate, therefore we will not entertain any rebuttals. At the end of the forum, each candidate will have another opportunity for closing statements. Candidates, when you have 30 seconds left of your time to speak, I will raise my hand in front of my camera to signal you to wrap up your statement. All right, to start off the evening, I would like to present our first candidate for City Council, Dan Buchanan. Please introduce yourself.
Service on the City Council is a privilege, but also requires a lot of preparation and attention to detail. As someone once said to me, the City Council's actions have a direct impact on people's daily lives. We expect to have reliable and safe drinking water, a working sanitary sewer, snow removal, waste pickup and disposal, curbside recycling, and the list goes on. These are some of the things the city does and the city council oversees. I was born and raised in Jamestown and obtained my early education and high school at St. John's Academy and the Jamestown Public Schools. Jamestown College, now UJ, gave me a broad range of courses and experience with a bachelor's degree. Later, I obtained my law degree at University of North Dakota. Education has always been important in our family. My wife is a veteran French teacher, both in Jamestown and at the University of North Dakota. I do adult education on a regular basis. Some of you may have attended classes on bird identification I did as a volunteer for North Dakota Game and Fish, or on wills and estates at classes sponsored by the library. My wife and I have been together for, shall we say, a good number of years. We have three adult children, namely Emily, William, and Sophie. And as I told Emily the other day, my wife is French, of French origin, and the French can't pronounce my last name, but we want them to be able to pronounce the first names of our children. With some occasional prodding, our children have obtained excellent educations and we feel confident for their futures. We own both business and residential property in the city. We restored the building housing my office when investing downtown was avoided. Thanks to a lot of others, downtown is on the verge of a new life. I look forward to continued service to this community and its ongoing progress.
Thank you, Dan. Our next candidate for City Council is Brian Camlett. Brian, please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Brian Camlett. Born and raised here in Jamestown. I got four adult grown kids, Cody, Garrett, Stephanie, and Tori. Two of them are married, two of them are not married. Got two little grandchildren, and I got some step grandchildren. So, and they're all boys. So it's going to be a fun time. Just looking for a good opportunity to do some good for the city of Jamestown. And that is why I'm running. We got a good group of guys working for the city. We've got a pretty good city council already. I just want to add to that growing greatness. So I've got some ideas and got some new views and like to bring it forth to the community and do my part and be part of something great.
Great. Thank you, Brian.
Yep.
Our next candidate is Pam Phillips. Pam, please introduce yourself.
Emily, I thank you. I thank the Chamber and I thank Local and Regional Issues Committee, which I chaired for so many years. I'm so glad that you brought this forum back. With all of the stuff going on in our community and in our world, it's hard to get together. It's hard to meet people. It's hard to talk to people. So this is a wonderful way to get our message out and for all of us to be heard. I am a candidate for City Council. I am finishing up my third term. They were not consecutive terms, but I have 12 years of experience on the City Council. I love it. I just love it. There's a lot of work to do. And you have, like Dan said, there's a lot of prep work that you have to do. You have to understand what your problems are before you can tackle it. But I do believe in common sense. I believe in a solid council. And I appreciate when Brian said that it was a pretty good council, because I agree with him. It's a pretty good council. And I enjoy being on the council. And I want to continue that. Every decision the council makes affects all residents of the city, everything, whether you realize it or not, it does. And so I love the challenge. I love the work. I love being on the council. And I would like to continue.
Thank you, Pam. All right, our final candidate to be introduced is David Schlegel. David.
Hello, I'm David Schlegel. I've been a proud resident of Jamestown since 1996. I moved here and attended Franklin Elementary through the high school and even some of the college here in town. I've worked in this community in a variety of industries through the years, all the way from grocery store to restaurant to airport, post office, and my current position at the Stuspa County Correctional Center. These experiences, I feel, have exposed me to a wide variety of perspectives over the years, and I think have helped make me a well-rounded candidate for the City Council. I want to celebrate our city's strengths and increase communication and transparency through the government to the people. And I'm motivated to help Jamestown grow by facilitating a proactive and set of forward-thinking efforts. And I want to thank the Jamestown Area Chamber of Commerce for putting this together here for us tonight. I think it's really great to be able to reach out through television and internet so everyone can have a better communication of what's going on with their local government. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Great. Thank you all for those introductions. Our first question of the evening is, in light of our current conditions, what are your plans to assist the city with adjusting to the new normal during the recovery of the COVID-19 disaster? Brian Kamlitz, we will start with your answer.
Wow. I'm not too good on this this answer, because I don't like it being called the new normal. Every time I hear it, I tell people, stop. There's nothing normal about what's going on. There's different things that we got to take precautions and safety in this COVID situation that we got going on. But people wearing masks all the time, that's not normal. No baseball, no hockey, no racing, that's not normal. There's just a lot of not normal things about this. So with people calling this the new norm, I have a tough time accepting that being called the new norm. I just, that question just bothers me to no end. I want things to be back to normal. I want us to be able to go into the public buildings. I want us to be able to have concerts and go to events at the Civic Center. This self-distancing 6 feet apart from people, and it's just not, this is just not the way we should be living. So we just got to get through this whole mess that got created, and move forward, and just wash your hands and keep your fingers out of your mouth. That's about all I got to say about that. I have a very tough time here in new normal, because I don't want this to be the new normal. And I know there's a lot of people that will agree with me. We just got to be on the safe side with everything, and wash your hands.
Thank you, Brian. All right, we'll go to Pam Phillips. Same question.
I know, yeah, this is tough. Social distancing is tough. We are not a distant bunch of people. We like our friends. We like to be together. We like to do things together, but we can't right now. And as much as you don't want to see it, we have to, the city council and the city of Jamestown has to continue to coordinate with the Central Valley Health, because they are the tip of the iceberg in this community. They know what's going on with the COVID, and they know where the problems are, and they know what needs to be done. So we as a council have to be aware of how those things are. We have to try to provide positive experiences in our community, even though we're kind of all shut down. And that some of these things are going to open up, and we're going to see some freedom coming. But that freedom is going to be with a price. We're going to have to continue to use our masks, have to continue the social distancing, continue to wash your hands, continue to be safe in your job and in your private life. Our restaurants and bars are trying to do the right thing, and they really are succeeding. They're working hard, and we need to support that. And I think that we all are supporting, you know, whether you go out, if you're used to going out every night, maybe you're not going out every night anymore. And if you're used to going to the movies, maybe now all you're doing is getting popcorn on the weekends. You know, we're all trying to do what we can to keep our business community going and to keep our city working together and providing experiences for our community. So I would like everyone to stay safe. You know, I if you see me in the grocery store, I've got a mask on, and I will elbow bump you, but I will definitely talk to you with six feet apart.
Thank you, Pam. David Schlegel, we will go to you. Your answer, please.
Well, it's a local government. City government is the closest point of contact for a lot of people here in town when dealing with this issue. And so far, I want to applaud everyone with all the, you know, great work that they've been doing to help. In North Dakota, we go by North Dakota Nice, and it's been really great to see a lot of people working together and, you know, doing everything they can because they care about everyone else in the community here. As far as dealing with the new normal, we have to work closely with our local citizens and our businesses. It's very important to listen to our local businesses and work with them however we can. It's a very stressful time for some more than others. And with the citizens, we have to make sure that we provide a guiding hand so they're able to get the information that's needed from federal level, CDC, and even with our state and county governments. And with businesses, again, the city can do everything that it can to assist them, even if that means doing some waiving of fees or helping them out however they can, providing assistance, filling out forms when applying for grants from at a more federal level or different levels of government. And the biggest factor as far as business too is this is going to have a prolonged effect on the economy that we're already seeing and will continue going forward here. I've been doing some research recently. I read a large report from the University of North Carolina when they wrote about the 2008 recession. And they followed around 30 to 40 different cities for the next 2 years after that, following how they would recover from that recession. And there was a lot of really great ideas in there of how they can assist people. So I think that's something we need to definitely look into with research from this organization and others to, you know, do the best that we can to move forward. And I think, again, yeah, it's the government needs to just work as closely as they can with the people and the businesses to work through this hard and difficult time.
Thank you, David. All right, Dan, we will go to you. Same question. What are your plans to assist the city with adjusting to the new normal during the recovery of the COVID-19 disaster?
Okay, first, you know, I don't know how anybody is defining the new normal, so that's a kind of a concept that I guess has not really been explained to me very well, if at all. If we're going to have something besides what we have now and begin to get back to life as we know it, I think we just have to pay attention for maybe a period of time, might be the rest of this year. That doesn't mean we have to be self-isolating or avoiding everybody, but I think we just have to kind of pay attention and follow the advice that we get from the health authorities and let our decisions be data-driven rather than emotional-driven. And of course, the so-called new normal, I hope will be short and will be shortened a lot once we've got a vaccine or enough herd mentality of people who've been exposed that we can get on with life as we know it.
Okay, thank you, Dan. Our next question is, how do you plan to help the city balance their current budget moving forward? And we will start with Pam Phillips, your answer.
Balancing the budget this year is going to be a real hassle. The state Governor Burgum would like us to reduce our budgets by 15%. That's, you know, it doesn't seem like very big, but it's very big. We have a $30 million budget, and every dime is counted for. We don't have any loose change. We don't have a slush fund. We don't have anything to really fall back on. Our money comes from taxes and fees and things like that. We don't have a store that we can count on. We don't have anything like that. So it's going to be difficult to balance this budget, but we do have a good auditor, Sarah Hellickson, and she's going to help guide us through this. Of course, you know, we're all responsible to know what the budget is and how the budget works and where everything has to go. And we will hear from every department, and they will tell us, you know, how, you know, what their future plans are. And they know about the reduction, and they know what's available and what's not available. And they'll work within that. And we'll just have to tighten the ropes. Maybe, you know, we've got too many city services, and how many city services does everyone want, and what are you willing to pay for? That's always the trade out, you know, because everything costs and nothing's free. So we're going to balance the budget as quickly as we can. I'm not anticipating a tax increase, although I can't say that. You know, I don't know what's going to come down the pike. We raised taxes quite a bit a couple of years ago. I don't want to ever do that again. I don't want to do that again. So we'll have to figure out a way to balance it. And if that means, that we have to, really tighten the purse strings, well, we'll have to. All of the departments tell us what they need, and then they leave it up to us to figure out how they can get it. And there have been times in the past, the last few years, not everybody gets everything that they want. They don't get everything that they put in their budget. They maybe get one thing that's kind of critical or two things that are kind of critical, but we're really very careful about that. We don't spend money indiscriminately. We don't look for ways to spend money, you know. So right now, our biggest deal is the fire truck, and we need that aerial ladder. Oh, do we need that aerial ladder? And that's going to take money from city residents, from the council, and from the state. So everybody working together, it'll all come together. I'm confident of that.
Thank you, Pam. David, we will go to you. Same question.
The city needs to focus on reducing any costs that they can in our income right now. Any current tax income we need to use as efficiently as possible, and finding any other alternative revenues or developmental grants we could apply for would be crucial. But a big issue with is just transparency with residents. Talking with people over the years and recently, again, a lot of people feel their taxes are very high in town and they don't see where it's being spent. They're concerned that they don't know where it's going. I know you can go on the Jamestown City website and you can look at the budget, but it's not the most user-friendly. It's a lot of numbers. And I looked up a budget, for instance, one other city in North Dakota that's of similar size, Mandan. Their city budget is available, and they include a lot of graphs, pie charts, flow charts, a lot of explanation of exactly how each of their dollars are being spent with taxes. And I think that would be key with relaying and communicating with the residents how their money is being spent, but also listening to them with how they would want their money spent. If there had to be any cuts, asking the people what they'd be most comfortable cutting. Again, with that University of North Carolina study I was reading with the cutting budget after the 2008 recession, there was the city council that had appointed members to a advisory or citizens advisory council, or they had asked for a group of volunteers to come in for people from around the community and be able to express how they felt that the budget should be run, or where they could make cuts, or different or ways of bringing in more revenue. And, proposing these ideas to the council to be able to make the final decision on. But communication is a huge factor, I think, with the budget, and, trying our best to work the money that we have, and any sort of tax increase should become as kind of a last resort. So thank you.
Thank you, David. We'll move to Dan.
So on the revenue loss or balancing the budget, the budget for this year is in balance. We have to balance the budget. We did that when we adopted it last year. We can reduce the budget. We cannot increase it. Now, I've been in touch with the North Dakota League of Cities, and I've looked at material from the National League of Cities, and the North Dakota League is advising cities across the state to look at probably 20 to 25% revenue loss for this year and next year. Now, the sales tax is one source of revenue that the city has, and the impact with the reduction of the sales tax is primarily going to be on our plan to take some of the pressure off the general fund budget, which is made up mostly of real estate taxes and fees and licenses and so forth. We did pass a half-cent sales tax effective last January that would provide for operating funds and upgrade funds for the Civic Center, which then takes pressure off the general fund, which is primarily the other types of taxes. So with the reduction of sales taxes as of now, according to the League of Cities, the tax collections for the first quarter are known, but they're not indicative of going forward. So what I guess I'm interpreting what I got from the league is essentially normal, but there's no question that the second quarter is going to see a pretty drastic drop in the sales tax. And that will not be available until July, so that there's always that lag. And I'm hoping that the third quarter will start picking up and maybe we can do something. But I know the city administration is already working on tweaking the 2020 budget, and it won't be long after we take office as a new city council, whomever among us is in that bunch that's taking office, that then we will go right into the budgeting for 2021. And so the sales tax loss will primarily impact the Civic Center funding. We have taken some steps that maybe should be mentioned, that this year is our first full year of the stormwater utility. And the stormwater utility is a modest fee on homeowners and businesses and everybody, the nonprofits, all the entities that don't pay real estate taxes do have to pay a stormwater fee. And that is expected to bring in around $400,000, which will then free up money from the general fund, because the costs of our stormwater, the storm system, is costing money out of the general fund. And this will provide money for operation and maintenance of a storm sewer system that really needs to be upgraded. And we don't have enough money yet to improve it, but at least we can maintain it without taking out $500,000 every year out of the general fund. So it's not all bleak, but we are going to have to do some tweaking and some serious tweaking, and maybe defer some expenditures.
Thank you, Dan. Brian, we will go to you. Same question.
Yeah, as council, we all got to look at the department's budgets and the projects that they have for their buildings and their equipment. Fix what needs to be fixed, budget and plans for future upcoming expenses for their buildings and equipment and such. We need to look at all those departments, like Pam said. That's where we're going to have to look at where we can cut. With the governor doing a 15% overall cut in everybody's budget, that there is going to be a tough one for a lot of us to swallow. So just looking at different things that need to be fixed, fix them. The ones that don't need to be fixed, overlook them. See if we can get by for another year. And just keep going and look at the priorities. There's a lot of priorities out there that need some fixing.
All right, thank you, Brian. All right, our next question. If someone came to you with a proposal to build a new piece of public infrastructure in our city, how would you evaluate whether that project was worth implementing? And David, we will go to you first for your answer.
Well, the first thing you'd have to look at is, are the costs worth the benefit of whatever the proposal would be? You have to look at many different factors, looking at whatever projects are taking place in city already, whatever infrastructure we're already using, talk to as many experts as we can, and to learn as much as we can about whatever the project may be, and looking at other cities to see if they have similar projects and proposals and how those are faring with them as compared to us. Evaluating the project and just really paying attention to that cost, if it's going to be beneficial, and looking for factoring in any sort of conveniences that it can benefit to the businesses and residents of town. But again, really looking at their budget here and seeing what can be, what needs to be done right away and what can be left for, the future if needed at all.
Thank you, David. We'll go to Dan. Same question. If somebody gave you a proposal to build a new piece of infrastructure in our city, how would you evaluate whether the project was worth implementing?
Okay, if somebody approached me about an infrastructure project, I wouldn't be surprised, because I'm approached by about everything else. And so that let me say this, that I do not believe and do not practice micromanagement. My job in the city council has been and is now set policy, make decisions. So if somebody approached me about that, I've been approached about who's paying for all the potholes they're fixing in front of my house and on, or why isn't my street plow yet? So those things I refer to the city administration, and that office then deals with whomever, whatever department is involved that can take care of it or who's handling it. As far as somebody saying, I'd like to such and such a new project, it might go through the planning commission. It certainly ought to go. I would say, here's what I received from so-and-so or this group. And it might be referred to the planning commission or the engineering department to take a look at it. And I assume that the person or persons would be interviewed. It would be looked at. And if it looks like something that's important that should be done, I suspect that it would probably get into the pipeline. Now, getting into that pipeline is not that easy, because there are things that are ongoing, and we are only so many contractors can do these things for us. There's engineers that can design them and price them, and then we have to bid them and find the money and so forth. But it's not that I would say, no way, go away, but just I would refer it. I would be courteous and refer that to the administration and see how that plays out.
Thank you, Dan. Brian, we will go to you. Same question.
Yeah, that one there is a pretty tough one, because I know some of the people on the building planning commission. So I would just probably give them a few questions, and these are the ones I kind of thought about to write them down and give them to the Planning Commission. I would have no really dealings in that right off the top, but this is what I would tell the person. I says, is the building needed? What kind of budget plan you got prepared? Got a location yet? What is all going to be housed in this new building? Basically start out with that and let the building commission figure out what's going on. And then if it has to be brought to the council, then we'll get a little bit more prepared and sit down and we'll hear them out on what they want to do for the new infrastructure that they want. So.
All right. Thank you, Brian. Pam, we will hear your answer now.
Infrastructure is important to a community. You don't grow unless things are growing around you. But it takes a lot of work before that ever comes to the council. Like everybody else has, you know, the Planning Commission is in there. You know, you've got architects, you've got people who build buildings, who build bridges, who do roads, those kinds of people. They're all consulted ahead of time, and they're the ones in the front line. We listen to them and what they say. All of these come together and then they inspire a new project, whether it's a new bridge. And I remember all the things we went through when the bridge along the railroad tracks was put down, and how much work was done on that. We have to listen to the citizens and see what they think. Maybe they don't think that bridge should be there, or that road should be there, or that building should be there. We need to listen to the citizens, and you know, it's doesn't become a pet project of the council. It becomes a project that the whole council can get behind. Now looking forward to this summer and the changes that are going to happen downtown. I know a lot of people are not real gung-ho about that, but that's been spurred on kind of by the state. So we're gonna take it piece by piece and do it piece by piece and see how it goes. But all together, when you have plans that are good and you have plans that are going to boost the community up, they'll all come together and they'll work for the common good.
All right, thank you, Pam. My last question is, why should our citizens vote for you to serve on the Jamestown City Council? And Pam, we will go right back to you to start off.
Why should people vote for me? Don't vote for me just because I have 12 years experience, but it does have something to do with why I'm running again. I love this community. I was not born here. I was not raised here, but I raised my children here and they went to school here. And they both are married now, and they both live in Grand Forks. And my daughters are very proud of this community and what's happened in Jamestown since they left. We've seen a lot of growth, and not necessarily because of the city council, sometimes in spite of the city council, you know how that goes? But I have a real passion for our community. I love what's going on. I love that we have reclaimed the Frontier Village, and that is going to be up and running. It's going to be open this summer. In case you haven't heard, the village will be open. You'll have to practice social distancing this summer, but the buildings will be open and you'll be able to go up there. I don't know if the horses and stuff are going to be there or not yet, but the buildings will be open. So that's one good thing. And I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud of the Frontier Village. I'm proud of all of the things I've worked on with the council. I'm proud of the council's work. I've seen a second mayor come. You know, I had one mayor for 2 years and now I have another mayor. And I've just seen the changes in things that go on. We've done some new building in the community. I am just always amazed at what this community does and how it comes together and how it takes care of its own. And yet it still reaches out to other people and other communities around the state of North Dakota. We can be proud of Jamestown. We can be proud of our city and our schools. And we have a college here. How many towns of our size have a college. We have a college. How cool is that? So as you're doing your ballot, and if you've already done your ballot, I hope you picked me. Thank you very much for your vote. And if you haven't decided who you're going to vote for, I hope you'll pick me. There are three slots open, and I would like to be back on the council. I would like to be working for the city, because it's just my love and my passion. So vote for me. My name is Pam Phillips.
Thank you, Pam. All right, David Schlegel, we will go to you. Why should the citizens vote for you to serve on the Jamestown City Council?
I've lived here in the community for a long time, and I've made a lot of friendships and relationships over the years. I've worked in a variety of jobs over the years, and many of them require strong listening skills and having a calm demeanor and having to just communicate with people. Whether it's my current job now at the correctional center, or when I used to work at the airport and I'd have to tell a family that their flight was canceled, their vacation plans were thrown into flux, and you know, try to communicate with them and give them that bad news, but also still try to work with them as closely as possible and fix the situation to the best of my ability. And growing up here, I have made a lot of friends with younger families and professionals in town, and I'm still friends with a lot of them who are here in town still. So I feel I can be a good representative of that demographic here in the community. And I don't have as much experience as Dan or Pam here, but I'm eager to learn. I want to soak up as much information as possible. I want to be able to talk with a lot of our local community leaders, business leaders, and experienced lifelong citizens here in town. And I've already been reaching out to the North Dakota League of Cities that Dan mentioned earlier. I know the other members, like member David Steele, was very active on there, and I want to make a lot of use of their workshops and other training, because I'm very excited to try to do everything I can here for the city. And I want to, again, communication is huge for me. I want to listen to everyone possible. I want, if you're citizens of Jamestown, your voice should be heard, and I want to listen to you, and I want to be able to communicate back to you what the city would be doing for you. And I want to work with our city employees as much as possible. A lot of the on the ground employees, I've been an on the ground employee for most of my life. So, I want to look for creative solutions and whatever I can do to help the city. Thank you.
Okay, Dan, we will go to you. Why should the citizens of Jamestown vote for you for city council?
May I lighten this up momentarily? Why vote for me? Because I'd like to get reelected. No, seriously, in addition to what I said earlier, as a Jamestown native, I care a lot about this city and the people who live here. In the time I have served on the city council, I have consistently done my homework on city matters, and I have the reputation of being well prepared when I come to those meetings. When addressing matters that come before us, I think professional and community service to this council. I have chaired 4 of the 5 standing committees, and I hope I will be allowed to continue to do so.
Great. Thank you, Dan. I need to go to Brian still. Brian, why should you be elected to city council?
Well, I'm a native of this town. I was born here. I lived here all my life, except for 1 year while I went to college. Been very active in this community for many, many years. I have organized a lot of different events and different, the motorsport side of it, some car shows, very active in the motorcycle sport of it around here. The biggest thing is I was on the fire department, city fire department, for just shy of 20 years. I did my term with them. I worked full time for the city fire department for 7 years. Loved it. Health issues kind of got in the way of that. Started working at Wilhelm's. Very, very good decision choice to make. Worked at the airport on the ARF for many years. Did a lot of training. Did a lot of stuff with the fire department for all those years. I love this city. I have lived here for a very long time. I have done amazing things with different groups, and would like to continue that. I just want to make things a little different in my life and add myself to the city council to make some changes and do some different things and new face, new voice, and just get that, get those new ideas out there and vote for Brian Kamlitz when you get your ballot. And that's about all I got to say. And I thank you all for tuning in and listening to all of us.
Thank you, Brian. All right, we have a few questions from our audience. Our first question, do you believe that more industry is needed to drive the community forward? And we will start with Brian for this one.
Yes, that is, we can't strive on Chinese restaurants and dollar stores. We need industry, we need manufacturing. We need that base to get other businesses to come to town. That's one of my huge drives. We got a huge thing going on in the whole United States with this China deal. They're bringing businesses back to the U.S. Let's sell our city to get some of those built here in Jamestown, increase our population a little bit, get some more revenue put into the city fund. And yeah, that's the strive of getting more businesses. Absolutely.
Great. Thank you, Brian. David, we'll go to you. Same question. Do you believe more industry is needed to drive our community forward?
Absolutely. Now, initially, it's going to be difficult here with the effects of COVID-19. But that's all the more reason to try to boost the economy after the fact here. I've spoken to a lot of families and stuff around here, and I've heard some, one member of the family will move here for the a job, but then the spouse has difficulty finding a job as well that is gainful full-time employment. And it's important for us to bring in, not just jobs, but careers, bringing in those tentpole businesses that are going to cause people to want to move here, those young professionals to come here, start families, and then, shop and boost our economy here. And it's just very important to try to bring in those new jobs.
Great. Thank you, David. Dan, we will go to you for this question next. Do you believe more industry is needed to drive this community forward?
What do I think the most important thing is?
Do you believe that more industry is needed to drive our community forward?
Okay. The primary thing that we have to understand is that we live in an agricultural area. And so I have been very supportive of the efforts by the JSDC to develop a soybean processing plant at the Spiritwood Energy Park, SEPA. And I guess it was a relief. It was an expensive relief to move on. And I'm hoping that will, the new Archer Daniels Midland or the other candidate they have in mind, if they do, I would hope we can get a commitment there. We've lost the Laddish, and we now need to take the next step and get the soybean crushing plant going. And I also understand that there will be, in the next couple of years, there will be a conversion at that power plant to natural gas from coal. So that would be a major project there. And those kinds of projects attract both temporary and permanent employees. And I think that's the number one job, is we've got to get businesses that can employ people who then can move to this town, stay in this town.
Great. Thank you, Dan. Pam, we will go to you for our last answer.
Okay. Yes, industry, right. But we are, like Dan said, we are on the prairie. We're 100 miles from civilization on all four sides, so there's lots of places where businesses can go to start working. And the JSDC is working very hard. That's the Jamestown Settlement Development Corporation. They're working very hard to bring businesses here, but it's kind of tough. We have the airport park out there, and that's going to have the National Guard Armory out there in a few years. But there's also some open development out there that we're concentrating on. Then, of course, Spiritwood Energy Park, yes, we're concentrating on that. And it was in the news about a lettuce plant or some kind of a that kind of a plant. So we're always looking for stuff, but it's absolutely crucial. People do come here and one person gets a job and the other one can't find something. And we have to change that. We have to change that dynamics. Can't do it right now. God, we're all in lockdown. But that needs to be worked on too. And we trust that our economic development people are working to solve some of those issues, and the council, as it comes up, we will too. So I'm pretty confident that we're going to come out of this ahead, and that our community is gonna bounce back, and our efforts at getting business will move forward.
Thank you, Pam. All right, we have another question from the audience. How do our candidates feel about the serving food and drinks to tables outside? For example, if you could have tables out on the sidewalk. We will start with David for your answer, please.
I'm definitely in favor of it here. I know that was changed here to help out local businesses during these trying times for COVID-19. I was a big fan of hearing about them looking into, you know, making that a thing. And I'd even go a step further and I'd say that, you know, if they want to try it on a trial basis here until the end of the summer and see how it goes. But if it goes well, I'd enjoy seeing this being just a normal thing that they extend from now on. It's a big win for businesses. And I know that there's a lot of people in town that would like to get outside and enjoy that weather while they're having a nice meal with one of our local restaurants. Thank you.
Great. Dan, we will go to you. Same question.
Do I think there should be tables on the sidewalk tables? Yes, I do. I think it's something that's an opportunity we have lost for a long time. And I think somehow the regulations that have been preventing that are over strict and overkill for what people like to do. And I was surprised that, you know, that there can't be that sort of activity on the sidewalks. It's in Minneapolis, there's various neighborhoods in Minneapolis that would look like little Jamestowns where their merchandise is sold on the streets. There's restaurants. You can carry stuff out and sit on the tables out in the fresh air if you want to. And I think it's an idea who's finally come, and I hope I'm enthusiastically support doing it.
Great. Thank you, Dan. Brian, we will go to you for that question.
Yes, I agree. We should be able to sit outside. The few restaurants that have that in town, I do use it when it's nice out and not raining or mosquito season. For one thing, it's one of those nice little features that a lot of other communities have, and I seriously think we should look at trying it for a year. If it works out, put something together and see what the businesses can come up with, and be on a safe side of it too, for traffic and emergency vehicles to be able to get through if they're going to do stuff in alleys or parking lots or whatever. So there's a few other concerns that will play into that. A lot of them have their own private little area where they can have that set up, but right down on downtown Jamestown Main Street sidewalks, yeah, a couple, two, three of them out there, I think that's a great idea. Dan says they have them in Minneapolis. I've been to a few of them in Minneapolis. You can even bring your drink out and sit out there with your drink. And I know there's a lot of people that would love to have that opportunity to do that.
Great. Thank you, Brian. Pam, we will go to you for our final answer of that question.
Okay. Well, you know, the hang up that we always had was the fact that that's a highway, that that's a state and federal highway that runs right down our city streets. But our sidewalks are 9 feet wide, and you only need to have about 4 feet for people to pass. And I think the state has kind of relaxed regulations regarding that. So I think we're going to see that. It's coming up for council tomorrow night. So we'll be talking about that tomorrow night, but I'm pretty confident we're going to go with it because it's a really good idea, especially when you have to reduce how many people can be inside the restaurant. So it gives them a little extra. So I think it's a great idea. And, you know, we may just do it for this season because, you know, you don't want to be sitting out there in 20 below. There are certain things you're not going to be doing, you know, but for the summer, I think it's a great idea for the summer. I just really am very positive about it.
Thank you, Pam. All right, our next question. How do our candidates feel about the city ending curbside cleanup week, considering that many people do not have the means to haul stuff to the dump? Dan, we will go to you first for that question.
I'm not sure I understand the question.
How do you feel about the city ending curbside cleanup week, considering that many people do not have the means to haul their stuff to the dump?
Well, the reason that we discontinued the curbside pickup was because that what was supposed to be a kind of a temporary fix when we had the equipment available has turned into a very gigantic dump on the curbs of the streets. And so this year we discontinued it, primarily because it's getting to be almost more than we can handle. And we have tried to accommodate people that who want to take things out to the landfill. That's available all the time, but it was a cost factor. And it was also a matter that it was just getting, the tonnage was getting so great that it was tying up so many people. We were also attempting to prevent deploying a lot of trucks and equipment, but many other issues were sort of on our minds at the time when that was first brought up.
Thank you, Dan. Brian, we'll go to you to that same question.
Say the question again.
How do you feel about the city ending curbside cleanup week, considering that many people do not have the means to haul stuff to the dump?
Yeah, I was kind of shocked, but I knew with the potential flooding that we had this coming spring, I knew a little bit about that. I was keeping up on all the potentials for when they canceled it last fall. The city cleanup is a huge burden on the city employees. They take a whole week, 7 a.m. till sometimes 6 p.m. Some of them work till. I know some of the residents abuse it immensely. I mean, I've driven by and I'm like, wow, did they unload their whole basement out there? You know, and that's very costly and very expensive for the city employees to do things like that. I mean, limited, yeah, it's good, but you know, I really think the citywide cleanup should be available for all of us. I see their reasoning why they cut it out this year. I do believe that there's plenty of organizations in this town that would love to get something together and help those elderly people or the ones that are handicapped to get their stuff out to the baler for them. I know there's groups and organizations would love to do stuff like that. So that would be something that would be highly looked into. I don't know what the future is on this down the road, but I'm sure I'll find out one of these days.
Thank you, Brian. Pam, we will go to you for that same question.
I was on the council when that was first implemented because I was born and raised in Fargo and we had that all the time. And I would spend a good portion of time running around town looking for really cool stuff. And I have some really cool stuff in my house. I have not done it since I've been in Jamestown because too many people would recognize me and I don't want to be embarrassed by that. But I you know, I wanted to see the city do that cleanup, but I agree. It has gotten to be incredibly huge. I know people who come into town from out of town and bring their stuff and find a friend and dump it on their lawn. You know, I know people do that, and they were allowed so many tires, and you'd find 12, 15 tires on somebody's yard. Well, you can't do that. So that's one of the reasons that the city council relaxed the requirements for dumping out at the baler and for dumping at the dump site. All you have to do is have a water bill, you know, with a Jamestown address, and you can take the stuff you want. Your first load is free, and the rest of them cost you some money, but it's still a workable plan. It was getting so huge, you just couldn't do it in a week anymore. And I agree with Brian. I bet there are groups that would do something like that. I think that's worth looking into, because I don't want to see the curbside stuff stop, but we have to do it a different way.
Thank you, Pam. David, we'll go to you for the final answer for that question.
Yes, I was very disappointed when I heard that it was canceled this year rather than being maybe delayed further into the summer. It's a very important event every year, I think. As a question referred to, a lot of people don't have the means to haul out a lot of things around their house when they're trying to clean up, or if people are trying to renovate and repair their home and they have a lot of debris from the repairs that they might not have the means to get rid of a lot of that. And I know it's a lot of strain on our workers who put in a very long week of effort to take care of that. And I think it would be good if the city, again, with communication, reached out to people and, made it a point to really, hammer home those ideas of the rules of what you can and can't dump, and also hear back from them about, some creative workarounds of how they could establish a better means of, workable rules for them for dumping. And I think there's was also a very good social aspect to it. It's almost a tradition yearly. I'll get together with some of my coworkers and friends, and we'll drive around and try to find some new things, give them a new home rather than sending them away to the garbage forever. I have a table stand right across from me here that I picked up last year, and it was just great to drive around town, see a lot of people, and say hello to them, and to share what you found. But again, it's a very serious thing to make sure that people are following the rules and communicating those rules. And again, a bravo to our city workers who put in the effort of that gruesome week of work hauling all of that. But I would love to see it come back next year, and hopefully better than ever.
Thank you, David. All right, we have come to the end of our evening, and we will give each of the candidates another chance for a closing statement. You will each have 2 minutes for a closing statement, and we will start in the same order we were when you were introduced. So Dan, we will start with you first for your closing statement tonight.
The material that I prepared for my closing statement actually ended up in being why vote for me. So I think we've had a pretty good discussion tonight. I would like the privilege of continuing to serve the city of Jamestown and the city council. I think I'm well qualified to do the job, and I would appreciate your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Brian, we'll go to you for your closing statement.
Well, I got a few things to say, but I said them in the other one, like the rest of us. We weren't expecting this last statement, but I appreciate all the support that I've had throughout the last several weeks of putting up my banners and signs and all that stuff around town. Looking forward to serving a term, maybe more, on the city council for Jamestown. Just excited to getting out there and meeting some of the business owners and talking with some more of the residents about some things. I've even gotten phone calls right now about things, and I'm not even on the city council yet. So it's been pretty fun. I'm excited. I look forward to serving on this council and doing a little bit more for Jamestown. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Pam, we will go to you. Do you have any closing remarks?
Yeah, I do. You're not going to see any signs around town for me, because I can't find them. I had signs 4 years ago, but I've been doing some construction work in my home, and a lot of my things had to be moved to, well, a lot of stuff had to be moved to a storage unit. And I think that that's where those signs are. But even if I don't have signs out, I'm hoping that you will still vote for me. I've seen all the other signs and I've been jealous. I've thought a couple of times of slapping another sign on top of it, but that would not be kosher. So I didn't do that, but I am anxious to serve again for the city of Jamestown. I am Pam Phillips. I know that working on the city council, decisions are never black and white. They're never black and white. There's always compromise. There's always things you have to do to get a common goal together. And I also believe that common sense is the deciding factor when it comes to city council. You have to look and see, is this a rational decision? And you have to look at those things. And I am all for common sense, because that's all I've got. I've got some college, but I didn't graduate, but I've got common sense, and I'm willing to use it again for the citizens of Jamestown. So please, my name is Pam Phillips, and I would appreciate your vote for me for city council.
Thank you, Pam. David, we'll go to you for your final remarks.
While I'm new to local government, I really look forward to learning from a lot of people here who are more experienced. I want to bring my calm demeanor, listening skills, and my care for the city if elected. I want to thank the council or the chamber here again for hosting this. Again, this is great with communicating through the television, the internet. I think it's something the city should definitely, lead by example and, learn from this, be able to better communicate with the community. And I want to thank all the other candidates here who partook today. It was great so everyone can hear your voices and learn what you have to say. I also want to thank everyone who's been helping me so far through my campaign, a lot of friends, and I've met a lot of new people while I've been going around too. And if you want to reach out to me online, you can do that. I'd be happy to communicate with you and have a conversation with you if you'd like. And thank you to everyone.
Thank you to all of our candidates and to our audience. I would also like to thank the members of the Jamestown Area Chamber's Local Regional Committee for hosting this forum. This evening's forum will be rebroadcast on CSI News and newsdakota.com, and the recording will be available on the Chamber's Facebook page.